This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW this morning. I'll be speaking briefly with us on supernatural alignment or spiritual alignment. And in speaking to us today, even though I'm saying it is supernatural or spiritual alignment, I'll be looking at it from a secularist point of view, vis-a-vis historical and bibliothetical understanding of human evolution. As we know, the current climate in the world now is charged with the impending elections in the USA. And again, as we all know, when America sneezes, the whole world catches cold. America has become the center of the world for many years now. And I'm looking at the way believers, those who claim to hear from God and those who claim not to hear from God, but that believers who follow God, the way they approach their decision making in playing their role or their part in the unique system that the world has given God to deal with. As many of us would know, God has no hand in democracy. When you say something is democratic, it is all about men. Angels do not vote. God does not vote. God will not vote. And so, the system that God Himself ordained for all believers is a theocratic system or a pneumocratic system in which the Spirit governs the Christians so that all Christians become one with Him and are led by Him. And God showed us in the scriptures a perfect example of what He wanted in the books of Ezekiel chapter 1. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. When you look at the book of Ezekiel, in the chapters I mentioned, you will see a chariot, essentially a chariot without an engine, without horses drawing it. You will see wheels within a wheel. You will see on top of the wheels, you will see the carriage, and then you will see the Spirit of God, the angel of God. And then the scriptures say that as Ezekiel was by the lake, Achuzah, his eyes opened, and then he saw a vision of God. And it seemed as if God was riding a chariot. But this chariot had tires, and these tires were moving of their own accord. The chariot was moving on its own accord. God seated on it was not using a cane or a whip to control, or a tether to control any animal holding on to the chariot. And the scriptures say that where the wheels go, the carriage go, God goes, all of them move in perfect alliance or supernatural alliance. They seem to instinctively know what God wanted. When God wanted to stop, everything stops. When God wanted to go up, everything will go up. When God wanted to go forward, everything goes forward. When God wants to go sideways to the right, everything goes sideways to the right in perfect unison. In perfect synchronicity, the heavens obey the fullness of the measure of God and moves and are swayed by the Spirit. The Bible says, for the Spirit in them and the Spirit in God and the Spirit in the wheels are one spirit. So there was no dissonance, there was no discord, there was no argument. Essentially showing us what God intends for all of us who are Christians, who claim to be spirit-filled, who are speaking in tongues, that we should have the leading of the Spirit in such a manner that when God is going in a certain direction, all of us begin to go in that direction. We just find ourselves, all of us are, we just find that we can't decide that we want to go in another direction. There is harmony. When God is moving in a direction, all of us will just move there. If indeed the Spirit that we claim to be in us is the Spirit of God, where God goes, all angels go and all saints go. That is how the order was meant to be. That was the order. Before we became one in Christ, when God is going to the east, we will go to the west. In fact, God was always chasing after us. God would now send an angel. The angel will come to Israel and say, oh, you guys have missed your way again. Then God will try to align the wheel. Then they will follow God for a while. And then they will go against their way. And then something will happen to them. And then God will send another angel. God will send a Messiah. God will send a judge. God will send a prophet. God will send the prophetess. You saw the cycle again and again and again from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges to the book of Kings. You saw that that pattern did not change till Jesus came. But when Jesus came, the pattern changed. We noticed that we were given the same Spirit that governs the heavens. The same Spirit that governs the harmony of heaven was given to the church, so that at every point in time, whatever God wanted done on the earth, as heavens are marshalling their forces to go in a direction, the saints on the earth will also shift and go in line with God. And then religion happened, and men began to contend again for the rulership of men on the earth. By men, I meant church leaders, popes, vicars, reverends, pastors. We began to contend for the rulership of men, for the dominion of the hearts of men. This is historical. When men began, when they decided to restructure on the earth, the spirituality of men, they formed a religion. From the year 1100 downwards till now, we began to have a structured religious body. Ecclesia, the church, which was a bastardization of the original purpose of God. The intention of God, when you see it, when you look at the book of Acts, and you look at the early church, you will see that they were a body of people who had leadership, but the leadership was not authoritarian, was not totalitarian, was for the sake of administration. And they were a body that would come together and minister to the Lord, and then they would find out what God wanted. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, oh, go to Joppa. You go to Damascus. By the Spirit, they were moved. Philip joined this chariot to the Ethiopian Enoch. Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius, send for Peter. You will see the unity, the harmony in the early church of the leadership of the Spirit. There was no denomination. There was no contention for the rulership of men. Everybody subjected to the rulership of the Spirit. That was the early church. When you read it, you will see over and over again. But men must rule men. In ruling men, you will find a structured society. You will find the ability of a society to create, to raise the fund through taxes, to build infrastructures for road, for housing, for electricity, for security. And that is the secular aspect of it. Without the proper rulership of men, of vision, society would be disorganized. There would be no cohesion of effort, a coalition of thoughts into evolving humanity beyond the spiritual aspect into the physical reality of the evolution of nations. So then, if men are in alliance with heaven, and all of us just shift to God the way we are supposed to, then who is going to build New York City or Abuja City or Lagos City? All of us will just be doing whatever we like on the earth, and it will be as led by God. So some men decided that we cannot leave the spirituality of men without looking at the secularity of the evolution of mankind. And so we have to organize religion. And so they decided to domesticate the spirit. And we have all sorts of organizations. And then people began to use the word of God to unlock the hearts of men for personal gain. People began to build monuments unto themselves, beautiful cathedrals, palaces, gardens, beautiful to behold. But as soon as one man discovered that he could milk other men for substance towards God, other men also discovered it. If you read the book Pillars of the Earth, I think it was written by Ken Follett, and it was documenting the history of the church and how the early church harnessed all the talents from Giovanni to Marco Polo to whatever, Newton, and how they used all the resources they had to push the evolution of the secularity of men through religious ordinance. You're going to get a distinctive picture that people who were seen as the leaders of the church at one point or the other are broken into different kinds. Some decided that all men should follow God the way God is. We call this one the mystic. The way God, in alignment with God's original plan, all men should follow God that way. Some decided that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and therefore some men must control men of the spirit so that the men of the spirit can do their bidding. And some decided, we don't even want anything to do with the spirit. We are going to be secularists. We are going to serve God as men, but absent of spirit. And so, again, the Tower of Babel problem that we had in Genesis 11 happened. The disorganization of thoughts, and then the deliberate reprogramming, brainwashing of men to follow a particular way of thinking, a particular soulish realm understanding, absent of spirit. And this is what has led us down here. So over time, nations evolved into capitalists, socialists, Marxists, and all that. And the church also evolved into different schools of thought. while serving one God. So you have the Catholic, then you have the Pentecostal, you have the Evangelicals, and if you look at all of them, you will see that they have God at their center, but you will see the definition, their thinking, the purpose of the God they have at the center, and how their thought pattern shaped how those who believed in that God should behave, act, and believe. And this has led us into total chaos all over the world. Every time a decision is to be made, there is never a consensus. When, especially when we enter into the secularist realm, and maybe there is an election in the country, you will see two different people, men of God. And this one will be giving you a prophecy from his worldview, saying, this is the person that people should vote for, or this is the person that people should choose. And the other person will be giving you also from his own worldview, right? Who he or she expects that people should vote for if they are Christians. And all these are just manipulative tools. People speaking up from their point of view, using the spirituality as the key to make men do their will. So sometimes you see a man and you are like, if this man is saying that we should vote for A, then we should vote for A. Basically because of his pedigree, maybe as a prophet or as a pastor or as a teacher. But most of us neglect the fact that there is a worldview behind how that person came up with his prophecy. And I'm saying that with all sincerity. There is a worldview behind all subjective denomination and thinking. You will see some people blatantly telling you, we preach grace. That is a worldview. Grace is a worldview. Holiness is a worldview, right? Faith is a worldview. Even though it is couched under spirituality, it already tells you how this person's thinking goes. The alignment has formed in his heart in the way he has defined his work, is our work with God. And so that's why we have so many denominations. And some of them are absolute rubbish and trash, and that is the truth. And some of them are absolutely cerebral. They challenge the brain and the mind. And some just by the Spirit. The struggle for a typical Christian then is to either look at things from his own personal perspective. For example, I know a lot of people who are in Nigeria now who decided that, oh, they are going to go to the US to vote, that they are going to vote for the candidate that will open the door so that more people can travel. Immigration under a party seems to be easier. Under another party seems to be more difficult. And so people are just thinking, oh, so that we can travel, so that we can carry our children to America, we should vote for this one that will open the borders, that will give people papers, yeah, that would make it easy for people to move to the US and live there. And so people are like, no, we are going to vote for this guy because we believe he will make the economy better, he would reduce all the aliens in the citizenship, he would remove crime. And so you can see from that perspective of the point of view of both sides, all they are thinking about is, how does this government benefit me? You see, and that brings us into the place, the circle of thought, where people choose governments simply for how much is in me answer. What is in it for me? That is the question. What is in this government for me? When you look at the 2-point worldviews of what is in it for me, you are going to find at the center of that self, how would this government put more food on my table? How would this government put more money in my wallet? How would this government expedite my citizenship? How would this government make my life better? How would this government cater to my needs? Because government is not a spiritual entity. So the individual in a government is always thinking of how the organized society would give him or her an advantage. And that is extremely secularist. But that is the soulish realm where we find ourselves. If you, however, will look beyond that to say, okay, what is God doing now? And how am I supposed to play my role in what God is doing now? Which was why when I was playing the song earlier, before I began to speak, I was trying to highlight the fact that if you do not know God first, you cannot know yourself. The key to self-discovery is God discovery. You must know God first. And then when you know God, you can then begin to know, okay, this is me. Because God also had a view. There is a vision in the eyes of God as to a goal. That goal is important for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is this special place, a special crown. Apostle Paul said there's a special crown for those who are praying, waiting, and walking towards the coming of Christ. Which means there are some Christians that they are not interested in the second coming of Christ. But they are Christians, they are believers. They are not invested in it. There are some Christians that are not invested at all in seeing the millennial reign. They just want this world as it is, even though it has already been written that this world will one day be rolled away, and that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that there is going to be a closure of the fallen world and a new beginning of the messianic or the millennial reign. Even though we know that that is the word of God, some of us are like, God should not come yet. I've seen Christians say that, no, God should not come yet. We are not ready for the coming of the Lord. We want to enjoy this life as it is now. Now, even though they have not tasted what is to come, to see how much better it is, now that God has given them a little money in their pocket, and they are maybe flying private jet or riding their 504, or there is no sickness in the body, they say, no, we want to enjoy now. Jesus should not come yet. No, I just got married. Jesus should wait. I've seen Christians say that. And that basically tells you that not all of us are looking forward to the coming of Christ. So, because we have different worldviews as individuals, as Christians, even as churches, we have different understanding and orientation of the supernatural and the plan of God. And what we also want sometimes will be in conflict with what God wants. God has always wanted Jesus to come back so that we can have a fresh start as promised. That is what God wants. I know that to be sure. I also know that in order to achieve that, there's going to be so many prophetic words that will come to pass. So just like when Jesus will come for the first time, it was being said from every book of the Old Testament, the mention of the Messiah, how he will come, who he will be, who will give back to him, how he will arrive, the kind of person he would be, was already foretold by several prophets. The same way his second coming has also been foretold by several prophets, how the series of events that will happen towards the second coming. And in making that second coming a reality, there are several things that will happen that will come together in alignment. Just like it did for the first coming, a lot of things will come together in alignment. So you can delay the second coming. That's where I'm going. You can delay it by choosing to ignore certain things and say, okay, we know that for Jesus to come, the book of Zechariah said that the Messiah when the Messiah shall come, it will have one leg in Israel and one leg in the land of the Gentiles, of the unbelievers. That will be the second coming when he lands. That's how he will land. It's really written clearly in the book of Zechariah. And so we know that the land of Israel is sharing land with Gaza. And that we can see that, oh, there is going to be, when the land, it's like that, it's this place, one leg, all of us are, many of us who study the prophetic are like, okay, so we know that when the comeback is going to come, Israel is going to be the landing place. So what's happening now? Israel is already eradicating a certain part, and then it's still as if, oh God, you are moving away the place of the Gentiles. Where will it land? Aha. So you see, as things are changing in the world, prophetic is either moving towards the fulfillment of God's word or delaying the fulfillment of God's word. The needle is always moving. When Trump was there and he took the capital, he went to Tel Aviv or where, and then he put an embassy there. Everybody said, oh, this is a good thing for the prophetic. Why? Because it is going towards the fulfillment of prophecy. And then when he left the office and then they couldn't complete the Abraham Accord and all that, and they reversed most of the things he did in the Middle East before we now have a war, people are like, oh God, you are setting the agenda backward. Oh, we are looking at the prophetic. We are looking at it, and then we have already achieved this one, and then they move it backward again, and then we want to achieve it again, and then they move it backward again. So frustrating, yeah? It is the place of men that alliances and alignments break. Angels always do God's will 100%. But when God involves men in these things, men would always find a way to push their own agenda, which then sets the agenda of God either forward or backwards. Remember when Jesus was born, how God showed some wise men, and the first order that men wanted to do was to kill Jesus. Like, they went to a whole city and they killed all the children there. Simply because that's how men are. Men frustrate God. It is the duty of men, men of this world, not Christians now, to frustrate God. It is therefore the duty of Christians, men who know God, not to ensure that they counter the other men who want to frustrate God so that the will of God is done. And here is the problem. And I have just a minute there about more. So here is the problem. Many of us, the other side that wants to frustrate God, they seem to be together in alliance as to how they would always frustrate the plan of God. But those of us who are of the church, who are of the spirit, who are supposed to then counter their efforts among ourselves, we are also very, very divided. What we want versus what God wants versus our worldview, versus our denomination, versus what our pastor, bishop, vicar is saying, everything is always in total disarray. The church had never truly been united since 1100, thereabouts, when different mindsets took over the rulership of the church and took it away from the spirit. But here is my challenge to you. You should, as a man of the spirit, ask God. You should ask God. I want to do your will, O God. Thy will, O God, will I do. Either you can pray. If you cannot vote, you can pray. And ask God, what is it that you want in the plan? What is in your heart? What is in the heart of God? What is in your heart to do? That is what I want to pray towards. That is what I want to commit my vote towards. I just want to be counted that I am moving in alignment with you. That is how a believer must think. Not in line with your pastor or a question of, oh, this one will allow us to have green card. All those things are nonsense. All the people are saying they want to have green card. It is nothing. It's just the poor people's way of thinking, but it's fine. Yeah? I want to go to America. There's nothing there. It doesn't make your life better. It doesn't make your life worse. It's just life. That's the truth. And then everybody that saw my own pick to say, I want to go out, there's nothing there. It's the truth. I've traveled globally. And it's nothing. Where God has placed you, the place where you used to be. That's the truth. And if God is saying go there, then you go there by the leading of God. But if God is not saying go, but you just want to go by yourself, you go there, you see that they are still living life there. They are still breathing here. and that's eating food, that's working and making money. That's the truth. So you must do God's will. You must aim to do God's will. This is God's will. That is where I want to be found. I don't want to be found where I'm pushing my will or my agenda. What is God's will? Let me be found in at the center of doing His will. That is how a Christian who is yielded to the Holy Spirit must always think at all times. I believe that I've been able to say one or two things that will be of benefit to you. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory
to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.